Well, it's getting close to the end of football season, right? Did you watch any of the games over the weekend at all? The one at Oklahoma State University? They play like Florida State. It was exciting, but it was also sad, because he, right down to the last couple of minutes of that thing, and he made a wide sweeping turn, and he was going for the pylon, and he fell short. They would have won the game if he would have got there. But and I'm thinking about football. Football is interesting. I like football. But, you know, it can be exciting and it can be sad all at the same time. Because somebody got to win. Somebody got to lose. And the poor old Georgia fans. You have to give it to Alabama. I don't know how they do some of that stuff, but they seem to dominate for the last many years, right? And poor Georgia, I think it was the seventh time that they met, and I don't think they ever beat them, have they? Or maybe once. One time. Well, I said all that to say this. Is there anything as exciting as a touchdown? After all, it is football season, although it's coming to a close, and Saturday afternoon, college football, Sunday afternoon, pro ball. Excuse me, folks from all over the country gather around their television, gathering places to cheer their favorite teams. Who are you cheering for this season? And what makes football so exciting is the struggle, the raw energy, the initiative and the strategy it takes to maneuver down the field towards the goal. You see, each time the team gets another down, there's also cheers of glee that rises from the stands. People pay a lot of money and spend a good deal of time paying attention to who will make it through the jungled bodies and equipment and elements and setbacks in order to win the game. Now, perhaps nearly as popular has been the advent survival shows. Now, I don't watch them, but I know they're there, and sometimes flipping through the channel, I see them. But one survivor show is now in its 41st season since the year 2000. And it's probably one of the most popular nail-biting shows of that particular type of series. And also, you got CSI, and my wife likes to watch NCIS, which is also in a lot of seasons in comparison. Adventure, wilderness terrain, survival challenges, struggle. I don't know why, but somehow or another these kind of things thrill us. The thought of being alone on a desert island, I don't know about, but, you know, or even be down in the open seas or in a dangerous jungle may set our teeth on edge, but it also gives us an adrenaline rush as we get in touch with our inner wild thing. Did you know that we all have an inner wild thing? Well, each step, whether it's on the football field or in the survivor's wilderness, challenges us to think instinctively and creatively in order to make decisions that will not only set us up ahead, but keep us alive and uninjured. What is it about this super hormonal rush that gives us satisfaction? Well, we are humans, after all, and humans in some ways are just slightly above all the other animals, and we are part of the animal kingdom, but we're just a little bit above the animals. We got more privileges, we got more things, we can talk, we can communicate, animals communicate, but not verbally, so we're just a little bit better. But what it does do, it allows us to get in touch with our wild place inside. Advent, too, is about a wild space. And we're now knowing, when we have history on our side, that Christ already came, but we like to celebrate the Advent season. But we also stay in a state of Advent because He promised to come back. And we're looking for Him to do that. So we're in a constant state of Advent. Advent is the time when God touched down right here on earth and started a movement that would reverberate through the entire planet. And it all started in the wilderness. In fact, if you look at the scripture, every significant God moment happened somewhere in a wilderness place. Jacob, you remember Jacob? He was on a remote hillside out in the wilderness, and he sees this staircase coming down, touching upon the earth. Abram's packed with God, in which a torch fire seals the deal with Abraham and his son. Happened in the wilderness. Hagar's encounter with God in the wilderness, in which she cared for and was fed. Elijah's wilderness journey, in which he was fed by the angels. Moses, surprised in the wilderness, which he encountered God in a burning bush. Remember, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, in which he encountered God, and he was tested by the devil for 40 days. Now, the devil tests all of us, but we get a break once in a while, but he tested Jesus for 40 days. And then there was this voice in the wilderness, Isaiah, that one John will pronounce a prophecy fulfilled. John the Baptist fulfilled that prophecy. And there are many, many, many more. But God always touches down in our wilderness place also, the place in which we feel most alone, most barren, and most despairing, and sometimes lost. It's this place that we hear God's voice and feel God's presence calling out to us, nourishing us, caring for us, and giving us new direction. The wilderness is a place of change. Last week, and we spoke of the Advent season and the time of getting ready for change. For God changes the world by changing us, one person at a time. One person at a time. You see, Jesus too began changing the world by changing people, healing one heart at a time. And the most healing moment in history happened when God touched down for real in the personhood of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. Now I want us to think for a moment of something that flows for all of us. And it's a space. We all have a quiet space. We all have a space that we need to go and just to be alone for a moment and to reflect on things. We have an inner voice. Did you know you can talk to yourself with your inner voice? Did you know you can answer yourself? Yeah. And you get the right words and right answers, and pretty cool. But all kidding aside, we have an inner space. What happens, though, when we interrupt that inner space or that flow? It changes everything about it. Think about this still pool of water. I used to love the water ski a long time ago, and I always waited. I was in Pennsylvania, water skied on the Susquehanna River, but once in a great while, the Susquehanna River would be just a flat, beautiful, no waves, no wind, no. That's when I like to go to water ski. But think about a pool of water like that, maybe in your backyard, or even a basin, a bowl of water on your table, or maybe your swimming pool, or just a pond like Bethel Pond down here. Nature, a bird bath even, but imagine water that has no movement. It's just still. Now, imagine a droplet of water falling into that pond. Maybe it's just a raindrop, single raindrop. It forms rain. The water forms rain, and they start expanding outward and outward. And then, and finally, it's got the whole body of water changing, in motion, changing direction. It all started with one drop of water. The sand beneath it even become rearranged. That one drop changed everything about that pool of water. We are blessed in this area to have a place out here in Mariana, very similar to the caves in Virginia, some of those caves up there. And I was just wondering, fascinated. That's why I started calling this the Mountains of Florida. We got a cavern in Mariana, Florida, that's got stalactites and stalagmites. It's a very, very interesting place. And if you go there and you go on the tour with the guard and they take you down into that cave, if you ever want to experience darkness, that's the place. And he turns that light out, it's just dark. I mean dark. But you hear a drip, drip, drip in that cave. And when he turns the lights back on, there you got them. Stalactites and stalagmites. They form these long spikes of formation from dripping water. Constantly dripping water. It's an amazing phenomenon. Even change that seems so slow as molasses can have a huge effect in changing something as hard as rocks over a period of time. Time matters. Change matters. It is in this sense of what happened when God touched down in the wilderness long ago in a deserted place outside of Judea in the region of the Jordan River. God interrupted society. Advent is the time when we call our call to repentance. And repentance simply means that sometimes we get a bad rap in life and we've been called horrible people and all of that, and we just need to change ways and fall prostrate down and ask for forgiveness. That's the kind of repentance that John the Baptist is talking about. Cleansing of the soul, a recommitment to God Almighty, our Sovereign Lord, and removing all of the debris of guilt and shame that all of us carry with us from day to day, year to year. A renewal of our spirit, just as that drop of water reverberates through the pond. God's salvation energy reverberates through us, each and every one of us, constantly reminding us that God is near. God is active in the world. God is making changes, and God wants to make that kind of change within every one of us. Just as in our baptism, we commit ourselves to God in a time of repentance when we remember our baptism. And it's a time of communion with God. God gets in touch with the wildest places in our soul and interrupts our lives in order to change our hearts, change our mind, change our intentions and our actions for the future. God's touchdowns are always in places where covenants are formed. And whether it was in the desert of our heart or any other place of time and space, human culture and context, the earthly realm as we know it, changed everything. We're not alone. God lives in our heart. Jesus said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Now we know he's not here with us in a physical sense now that we can see. But he said, when I go, I'll send one greater than I, the Holy Spirit, which will live within me, the advocate with the Father, as the Apostles' Creed says, sitting at the right hand of God, pleading our case. You see, there in that wild space, that beautiful, remote, primal, creative, wilderness space that's uninhabited, uncontrollable, unpredictable, untamed space that is a covenant wild space, God began a movement that began with the prophet John and then continued with the birth of Christ. The scriptures tell us that God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went throughout the region of the Jordan River calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and wanted to live and wanted God to forgive their sins. Did you know that we are a forgiven people? We need to accept it, but we're already forgiven because that's why Christ came into the world. To show us the way. To show us how we can live and not be full of sin. to be able to show that we have something much better ahead for us, something that we can't do for ourselves, and that's eternal life. That's why Jesus came, to help recreate his creation and to get it back to a state that when he does come return, it'll go be back to the state where it was in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve messed it all up. But we have a voice crying in the wilderness within our spirit. And it's a proclamation that God has appeared and God has an amazing plan for the humans in this world, a world of salvation that has been put into motion. Now, maybe everyone didn't see that initial drop of water that began to make a colossal change, but John saw it. And God made sure that John saw it, and the proclamation of God's eternal grace was born. So this Advent day, second Advent in the church calendar, as we get ready to partake in Holy Communion. Now, we don't do it the way we used to do it, with the bread and the cup and all that, but his wife Tina found a place that made these things available. Because of the COVID thing, the little cup, the little wafer, so we can experience and be immersed with God's grace by going through the motions of Holy Communion. It's evident that God had moved into the wildest parts of our soul. And I invite all of us this morning as we participate in that act of Holy Communion, that you immerse yourself into the experience with God. Let the Holy Communion kind of take place and reform you into a new creature. That is that peace with the earth and with yourself and with your neighbors and with God. You see, God can begin in you a process, whether it's slow as a stalagmite or as fast as a tsunami, that change in your heart and your life so that you can go on to change the hearts and the minds of others. It's an experience. That's why we have what we call a personal experience with the living God through Christ. No other religion, for lack of a better term, says that you can have a relationship with your Creator. And how you do that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He came to show the way. You see, the wilderness is not only a changing place, but an equipping place. That's why we come together on Sunday morning as often as we can to encourage one another in the faith. Not to be nosy, to say, oh, what kind of prayer concerns are this and that. No, it's to come to encourage, because we need one another. We need that peace that passes all understanding, that can only begin within us. So that wilderness place is a place of change and formation. It is when you encounter that that you can change everything as you come today for this participation in Holy Communion. So think about what you'd like to have changed in your life. I'm still working on a lot of things. I've been blessed by being delivered from alcoholism. When I say delivered from, I accepted my healing in that area, and I'm glad for that. But boy, I still struggle with a lot of other things. I'm still being pruned. And it's a wonderful thing, because you learn to grow, and by grace and fellowship with one another, and understand the meaning of the peace that passes all understanding. So our question for all of us, and Travis has a wonderful song that he sings about removing the chains. God's, how's that song? My chains are gone. You want to have your chains gone? You can. Remove that guilt or shame that weighs us down in our life. The wellness of your growth, both physically and spiritually. If you want to be able to remove that doubt which inhibits you from your relationship with God, that's the only thing that that separates us from God is ourselves. He's there. He ain't never moved, but sometimes we move. So if you want to simply say, God, I know I got all these mistakes, I got all that kind of stuff, my mind is crazy, and it doesn't necessarily go zap like that, like the tsunami. Sometimes it takes time to change, because only you can change your heart. Nobody else can change it. It's a miracle of God's grace. So if you simply want to get all your mistakes removed and things that plague you, and you can do it. But you got to let go. As that old cliche says, let go and let God. God can remove it all in your wilderness place. For God is the King of touchdowns, and God always wins. So as we come together and celebrate the Holy Communion, just ask that you clear your minds and open your heart and let God interrupt your life for a minute and set you in a new direction.